Hello, beautiful people. How are we doing? Please get comfortable. Take your virtual shoes off and you can leave them at the door. Today is very special, okay? Because I am joined by a guest. I'm already getting excited. I am joined by a guest and I have my special tea right here. This is a really beautiful person, guys, and I cannot wait to have this conversation. It's going to be very brief. It's not going to be too long. And when I say brief, I mean half an hour. Having a really beautiful conversation with a man that many of you might already know. But I am a huge fan of his voice and his work and his mission. He's a really grounded, beautiful human being. And also, he shares the same hairstyle as me, which makes him even more special. Okay, so let's get Light Watkins into the room and then we will dive right in, okay? If you start to hear us talking about minimalism and you have an aversion to the idea of minimalism, you have an aversion to spirituality, I invite you to stay, okay? If you find yourself resisting the conversation at any point, I encourage you to stay, all right? So let's dive in. Oh, Light, I'm so excited. I'm so excited that you asked me to have this exchange with you. I have my special tea just for you. Yes! Beautiful. And I'm ready to dive in. I have some notes. I have some questions that I wanted to ask you, and that is
correct. Yes, and you have a copy coming to you,
a hard
copy.
And today is the day that it's out in the world, right?
Now, but you have a hard copy coming to you as well. God, it feels amazing. Oh, I feel incredible. The thing is, I don't get very excited for a lot of things in my life. And it's not because I like to downplay things consciously. It's just that I feel like every day is kind of like my birthday. I'm one of those people, like every day feels like my birthday. But then there are special days where you get to share something that you've been working on and thinking about for a long time. People who support your work and people who want to see the things that you create. But I really try to remind myself to not focus on what's not happening, but instead channel my energy into people like yourself, people who are like stepping up and aligned and supportive and sharing the message with their audience. And that's kind of the whole, that's kind of the whole thing, you know, and that's the invitation behind this book really is to just anchor yourself in those moments, you know? So when you have things like walking, which we both love to do, don't ever look at it like, oh, I have to go get my steps in today. But no, I get to celebrate my mobility. I get to celebrate movement and being outside. There's some people who can't go outside for a variety of reasons. And I get to be outside, I'm unrestrained. I get to go wherever I want. I get to follow my heart in these little moments. I mean, it's just so much there if we can attune our attention to that.
That's beautiful. And the book, and again, if anyone is jumping in at this point, Light and I are, and it's such a beautiful name. Are you kidding me? Africa and Light? I mean, come on. We are talking about Light's book, Travel Light. And I don't have many conversations with people about their books, but there was something about this and this message around spiritual minimalism that just resonated with me so much. And I had to actually catch my own judgments when I saw the word minimalism, because it's a concept that I used to be very fascinated with. It's a concept that I still use in my life a lot. And simplicity is one of my favorite words ever. I always come back to the idea of simplifying, even as I'm writing, when I'm creating, I'm always coming back to simplifying. But I think the concept of minimalism has been capitalized on so much in the Western world. It's been positioned as, you know, this trendy thing that is for a certain type of person. It's very much associated with lifestyle
and buying shit and too. Aesthetics, like combine how something our looks, sleek,
you know,
having modern five furniture so you can be a minimalist.
Yep, exactly. So I had immediately, that's where my mind took me. But then I was like, no, because I know you and your message, but I think the principles that you laid out, and you make it very clear that it's not about that. You're speaking about something that is very much an internal process. And I find that to be a very, very refreshing part of your work generally, but something that I don't hear many people speaking about when it comes to minimalism. So I think I'm just curious, and for my audience to also just hear you share with all of us, what for you this idea of spiritual minimalism, where was it sort of born from, and how is it different from the mainstream idea that we have of minimalism and the judgments that a lot of people probably have around that capitalized, brandable, marketable, aesthetic lens?
So the book opens with me talking about how I moved out of my 2-bedroom apartment and into a backpack. And this happened in May 31st, wow. 2018. I left my beautiful 2-bedroom flat, which was 10 minutes walking from Venice Beach. And I started living essentially on the road. And what I realized from that experience was that the experience itself didn't make me any happier. It didn't make me more fulfilled than I was prior to that. And that I made the choice to do that because I was sort of tapped into this sense of fulfillment. So that's essentially where it came from. And that started when I began taking my meditation practice seriously back in 2003. And so what transpired in between 2003 and 2018, and this is not unique to me, this is, you know, anyone who takes their inner work seriously, is it helps you to get rid of the internal clutter. It helps you to get rid of the emotional baggage that we don't even realize is keeping us stuck in outdated belief systems, in soul-sucking jobs, in toxic relationships, right? Like you and I talked about your relationship with alcohol on our podcast interview and how that was manifesting, and you were losing friendships, but you still, you know, until we get to that point of reckoning for ourselves, we still justify it and justify it and justify it. And in the process, we think that the answer is not internal. The answer is, I just need a little bit more. As soon as I get a little more money, as soon as I get a little more alcohol, a little more recognition, more success externally, that's going to lead to a sense of fulfillment. And the old spiritual traditions have reminded us for thousands of years that there is no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. So I kind of learned inadvertently through taking my meditation practice seriously that the thing that I've been looking for all my life is actually found inside of me. And I start cultivating that. And then I just find out I'm so much less attached to my things. And when things don't go my way, it's okay. I can like hit the reset button easier and easier. And so that all sort of culminated in this. I got an idea in 2017 to see what this experience is like of living nomadically. And then in 2018, it just, you know, I resisted it because I'm normal. Like, that's what we do. We resist it. But it didn't go away. And that's one of the telltale signs that your heart is speaking to you. It doesn't go away. There's this sense of excited anticipation. It doesn't go away. You can try to drink it away. You can try to snort it away. You can try to smoke it away. But it's still there in the back of your mind. It's in your heart.
Yeah.
And then eventually, once you take that leap, you see that, oh, this was the next stage of my own personal growth and evolution.
Oof. That's incredibly powerful to hear you put it in that way and in just very simple language too, because it reminds me of the conversation that we had when I was saying to you that I relapsed 7 times. And even though in those times there were moments where, and by moments I mean it could be a month or 2 months, where I wouldn't be drinking physically, but I was drinking in the mind. You know, I wouldn't be taking drugs actually, but I'd be taking it in my mind. It's a really miserable experience because it's like self-torture. You know, you're changing something externally, but nothing has changed internally. And when I think of minimalism in the sort of way that it's typically put forward in the Western world, particularly, it's a declutter first approach, which I think is fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, with looking at your environment and seeing, okay, What have I not used in X amount of time? What haven't I worn in X amount of time? What doesn't make me feel good when I look at it, etc.? But I wonder if people could experience something even more potent, which I think is exactly what your book does, where you talk about the fact that that is important, but it gets to be the byproduct of something much deeper, something much more profound. That is an internal first process. And I just find that very refreshing, because even in your book, you talk about the fact that you can start this process of spiritual minimalism by just looking at the relationships around you, to just look at your friendships. How do the people around you currently make you feel? You know, instead of changing the clothes that you put on your body and the decor in your home, start to look at those parts of your life that actually are going to influence the rest of your life. And I find that so refreshing, because it's so doable. You don't need to
spend, you don't have to get rid of anything. It's really about, you know, I'm in Mexico right now. I've been here for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I'm in the perpetual process of learning Spanish. Like, my Spanish today is so much better than when I first got here. But still, right, I hear people speaking, and it if it's really fast, it just sounds really fast to me a lot of the time. And I can't understand. But if they say the same thing a little bit slower, más despacio, then I can make out the gist of what they're saying. And so your heart voice is kind of like that as well. When you're being intentional about listening in, tuning in through your inner work, et cetera, it'll sound a little jumbled, mumbled. You're not quite sure what's going on. But the more intentional you are and the more consistent you are with it, the more you become conversational in the language of your heart. And so it slows down for you. And the heart voice is really interesting, because there are a lot of voices in there. Right? Your ego's in there, your parents, social conditioning is in there, the newscasters, right? All the different influences you've had in your life. But here's the thing with the heart voice. The heart voice is kind of like, it's that, it has that maternal energy, you know? Like, you could get up on stage to perform and completely bomb, and everybody walks out, but who's going to be still in there at the very end? Your mom. Now, I'm not talking about abusive, you know, obviously there are exceptions, right, but for the most part, when you hit rock bottom, that's the voice that's going to be in there going, okay, you tried everything. I'm still here with you. Now let's move in the direction of your healing. That's your heart voice. And guess what? That voice is available to us at all times. And it's always kind of guiding us and pointing us in the direction of our potential. So the sooner we can tap into it, the more we can get into what feels us like a flow in our life. And the flow is not everything is going my way. The flow is I'm being challenged in ways, and I have problems that are extensions of things that I'm doing that feel aligned with my values and with my mission and my why, whatever I've identified that why to be in this moment in time. That's what you want. You don't want problems related to somebody else's why.
Yes.
You want problems related to your why. How am I going to get these people in this audience? How am I going to sell this book and make it a bestseller? How am I going to start my podcast? That's a problem you want to have.
Yes. Ooh, I love that distinction of problems related to your own why instead of someone else's.
You want to curate your problems.
Right. Whose problems are you over-attaching to, right? Whose problem are you giving more of your energy to? Which is why I'm such a big champion for your book. And again, everyone, get Light's book, Travel Light. You know me well enough to know that I would just never recommend you any book. I rarely do it. So please get this one. I was thinking of, this morning I was thinking of how would I kind of describe your book to someone? And to me, it immediately landed in my body that this book is guiding us back to curiosity, which I think is something a lot of people are craving immediately. And I was listening to the audiobook, and your voice is just so beautiful. I was just walking around, just smiling, just listening to your voice. And immediately, that's the sense that I got. It's guiding us back to curiosity. And my favorite principle, which I'd love for you to sort of elaborate and just stretch it out and flesh it out for us. My favorite principle is principle number 7 of spiritual minimalism, which is freedom of choicelessness. When I heard you say that in the beginning, and you said the exact words, embrace the freedom of choicelessness wherever possible. I absolutely loved that. I could feel the relief in my body when I heard those words. So I'm very curious what that means to you, and how did you even land on the idea of embracing the freedom of choicelessness?
So I'll give you, I'm just going to share a personal example. I actually have a bit of a book, but when I was trying to write my first book called The Inner Gym, it was a self-published book. It took me like 3 years of starting, stopping, second guessing, beating myself up. I'm not a good writer. This is rubbish. Oh, this is arrogant. You know, just back and forth, wearing myself out. But the idea to come back to it kept percolating. Again, this is a sign that this is something from your heart voice. It's hard. It's challenging. But it's challenging in a way that's stretching your potential, right? It's not like you got to move bricks from one place to another brick, another place. It's something that feels aligned. I have something to say. I just don't know how exactly to say this thing. So anyways, after 3 solid years of thinking about this, processing it, going back and forth in my mind, I finally get to a point where I'm like, look, I'm lying to myself. Yeah. I keep lying to myself every week saying, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to finish it this week. I'm going to finish it this month, giving myself deadlines, not following those deadlines. And finally, I say, okay, we have a mutual friend in common, Drew Purowit. You're on his podcast. So Drew's a buddy of mine. I said, I reached out to Drew and I said, Drew,
yes,
I'm so tired of thinking about this book. Here's what I want to do. I've written up this contract. It's between me and you. Mm-hmm. Here's a check for $4,000 US. The contract states that I am going to finish the manuscript for this book by such and such date, which is like 2 or 3 months from the date of that conversation. And if I do not finish it, if it's not ready to upload to the self-publishing platform, you are obligated to cash this check for $4,000. You cannot spend it on anything that has anything to do with me. And he signed it, and I signed it. And as soon as that paper was signed, all the excuses freed up. And I found myself just diving in. And I finished that thing a week early because I did not want to risk getting sick or something happening and not and losing that money. And that was an amount of money that I could not comfortably afford to lose at that time. So what that gifted me was a freedom. Mm-hmm. All the important sounding excuses no longer matter. I had a freedom of choicelessness. I have to finish this by this time, period. And that ended up curating my schedule for those next couple of months. No, I can't go on the trip this weekend. No, I can't go to dinner tonight. No, I can't go to the movies this week. You know, no, I have to write. And I was clear about that. And I didn't need any discipline. I didn't need discipline because I had something that was at stake, something that I was going to potentially lose that was greater than the excuse that I would have used otherwise.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I heard Chris Williamson say something really profound. He said, you know, he restricted his diet when he was trying to get into shape once. And he said, my six pack is the story of all the waffles I didn't eat. So this book is the story of all of the trips I didn't take and all weekend, whatever things that everybody else was doing that I didn't do. And it's not that I don't like doing those things. It's just that I like this a lot more. I wanted to be more loyal to my work than I did to, you know, making some friend happy at brunch, drinking mimosas.
Ooh, I'm just taking notes as you're writing. So selfishly, this time together is just for me because I'm getting a lot. I love how you illustrated that principle. And again, for anyone coming in, I'm just highlighting one of my favorite principles in Light's new book, which is principle number 7, and it's the freedom of choicelessness. And right in the beginning of his audiobook, it landed for me because I heard those exact words, embrace the freedom of choicelessness wherever possible. And I loved that addition of wherever possible. To me, how I received it, it acknowledges the reality of human beings, that uncertainty is really uncomfortable. We want to be presented with as many choices as possible so we don't feel restricted. And at the same time, the more options that we have, the more debilitating it can be to actually make decisions. Whereas where we have less choices, which is why I love just the idea of simplicity and minimalism in general, even just minimalism as a mindset, not just as something that you use to shape the environment you live in, I think it just allows for us to have that freedom in choicelessness, even less choices, depending on what it might be.
It's classic paralysis analysis. We think that it's more of a status symbol to have more choices, but your spiritual status symbol is recognizing that I really only have one choice. There's one choice. There's the thing that feels aligned with my heart, and then there's everything else. And if I lock in on the thing that feels aligned, I'm going to get everything else that I've envisioned for myself, but it's going to come in a more adventurous, more imaginative way than, you know, white knuckling my way through, trying to analyze my way to whatever my vision happens to be. And it's not one or the other. Your heart sets the goal. Your mind tells you how to get there. You don't want, what we do is we let the mind set the goal based on what everybody else is doing. And if we have time to listen to the heart, if it fits whatever the mind is thinking about, or really the ego is thinking about, then we may or may not do it. It depends. But we want to reverse that. That's what spiritual minimalism is all about. Make your most important decisions from your heart, and everything else will come into play.
I love that. I want to ask you a personal question. I'm curious to know, in the spirit of spiritual minimalism, if you look at your life recently, what's a difficult decision that you've had to make in your personal life that has allowed you to kind of, to shed some of that internal baggage, if you will, where you've had to use some of your own teachings, some of your own methods
I'm in, it
in
all
your
the time.
Personal life recently?
Is there such thing as an easy decision? The thing is, look, let's be honest, we're all influenced by, what we see on social media. And so I constantly have this tug of war of, I should be doing more internet marketing. I should be doing more of this or that, or setting up programs or courses and bonuses and all this stuff, and funnels, and everything needs to be a funnel, and because I need to make as much money as possible so that I can buy back my time. But then I'm also hit with, you need to go take a walk. You need to go just do some flaneuring. You need to go and get outside into the sun. And so it's like a balance, and I'm literally exploring every day of investing in my heart voice that's inviting me to do these things on a regular basis, and making sure that, I'm moving things forward business-wise as well. But the difference over the years has been, there's no shame in being a good business person. You just want to make sure that the decisions you're making feel aligned. The people you're working with feel aligned, and the opportunities you're accepting feel aligned with whatever your values and your purpose is. But, another example that I'm sure you're probably referring to also is like dating wise. Like dated people, had really wonderful relationships. They sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't work out. But then it's always like that weird, messy, aftermath, which you've done a wonderful podcast about, in terms of how do I continue relating to this situation? Do I do this no contact thing that everybody's talking about? Do I just be natural and authentic? Or, I'm still figuring that stuff out for myself, and each case is different. But what one of my mentors, Michael Beckwith, reminds us always is, he's like, don't listen to what I'm saying, listen to what I'm listening to. And when you prioritize tuning in, whenever you feel like, you're confused about something, that's where you'll find the best answers. There'll be answers outside. You can find answers in, this person's YouTube video and that person's social media feed. But the best answers for you, which may not line up with what they're saying, those answers are found within. You want to prioritize that over all the other things. And you're not always going to get it right. But through the process of trial and error, you'll start to, again, become more conversational in the voice of your heart.
I love that. And I think that's a great place to round up this conversation, because you just said something that I wrote down when I was listening to your audiobook. And it was, this is not an invitation to emulate. You find your own way. Trust your own inner guidance. And I love that you put that forward, because this is something that I'm always trying to tell people in my work and when I work with clients, that you are going to feel very tempted to emulate what it is that I am doing. You are going to feel motivated and inspired by, you know, the audacity that you might be able to feel, or the courage, or whatever it might be. But this is not an opportunity to emulate or copy and paste on a subconscious level. You find your own way. And I think when we hear the language of finding your own way because of self-development and self-help, we kind of think, yeah, sure. And it can even sound inspiring, but it's a very uncomfortable process to be going against the grain, to be like, you know what, everyone else is saying this thing, but I'm going to try it my way. And I'm willing to get it wrong, you know, and I'm willing to say this works for Light and this works for Africa, but I don't think it's going to work for me. But I'll take what I need and create something of my own entirely. I just loved being able to feel that from your work and your book and your voice, because you're not telling people to follow something prescriptive. You're sharing your intellectual property and your wisdom and what you've seen to have worked after speaking to thousands of people over the years, and saying now you create something for yourself.
Shout out to Michael Beckwith. I love that, and I admire it so much. I love it.
Yes. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Light, thank you so much. And for everyone listening to this, please read Travel Light and listen to the audiobook. I would also recommend listening to the audiobook, because it's just such a pleasure to listen to. If you love podcasts, you will love this, okay? Like I said, I don't recommend all books. I don't recommend books for no reason, but I recommend this one fiercely. I really appreciate you. I absolutely adore you. Thank you so much for this conversation.
Okay, take care and enjoy your writing.
Absolutely.
Bye.